Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot route!
I don't... What is hot route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down! Ready, down, set, hut, 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 hut!
Hit me!
Booyah!
That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom, 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 nom!
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew, Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
It is the Eskridge Lexus postgame podcast, and this time, no false advertising. We have the entire road crew here with us as we've been sitting around watching the Notre Dame replay game, which we saw plenty of that today in Norman. As the Sooners win it 62-9, Kansas scores on the final play of the game. We've got a serious situation going on. That's not Uagalele, is it?
I don't think so.
Someone is down for Clemson. It's tied 40-40 going into the second overtime. Oh, it's one of their defensive players.
Yeah.
So we've kind of been waiting to start the pod, but we're just kind of like, screw it. We're going to start it. This game's going to go on forever.
You get our live reactions.
You're never going to get your local news. You're never going to get Saturday Night Live tonight.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Dave Chappelle's on tonight.
Oh.
Forgot about that. Was that tonight? Or was that last week? It's tonight?
They've been hyping it up the entire second half.
Oh, no. I forgot to DVR it.
It's just been a crazy day. I mean, you have, first off, the election is called, and then you don't have games on major networks like you're supposed to have. The OU game gets started. And, guys, it was a hard watch, but not really because of anything OU did. It was just the replays were out of this world ridiculous today.
It was just the slowest game of all time. And I think that I was talking to a couple of the ESPN TV guys when I was going down in the elevator after the game. And it's just one of those things, like when it's a 50-point game in the fourth quarter and you look up and there's 12 minutes left, that's like the worst feeling of all time.
It's like, the media timeouts after the long replay.
Yeah, I know. That was another thing. And those were the longest damn timeouts.
Everybody got paid today. Everybody got paid. There's no doubt about it. If you bet on OU, you got paid.
That ESPN just laid off. But
Well, I think they probably still get paid through today.
Yeah, they probably got good severances.
Not bad.
So, yeah, I mean, part of it was you had four turnovers in the first the first quarter, I think it was. Two of them came on the same play, a Buki interception, and then a fumble out of bounds that I still don't know how that qualifies as a fumble when the person is standing out of bounds and knocks the ball out of someone's hand who is in bounds. Lincoln Riley said he'd never seen a play like that before and had no idea what the rule was. We didn't know what the rule was.
You know, it's kind of funny. As it was going, I didn't even realize that it was such a weird play. I kept getting text messages like, what happened there? And I had no idea that the guy was out of bounds on that play.
Yeah. And I thought that Buki had just clearly gone out of bounds before the ball had come loose. But
poor guy.
It was just
a
split second before.
He makes a great play. And then, like, Bob, it's like, is it not the most Buki play of all time?
It is Buki. It is definitely a Buki play. But we did get clarification from Greg Burks just that you're allowed to have, like, an instant touch like that. But if you would have had a prolong, like, you had to strip it out or grab it, then he would have been ruled out of bounds. So it's kind of weird that because it was just like a...
But you know what? If I have
second,
to put up with the...
That made it free.
If I have to put up with the bullshit in baseball when a guy slides into third base and his leg just barely comes off the bag, but he's the third baseman is applying the tag, and that's an out, like... If that's a rule, then this should be a rule, too. You can't dislodge a football when you're standing out of bounds.
It was definitely weird. I don't know if I've ever seen it unfold like that. It was a great play by Bukey, though. I mean, he jumped the route. I mean, it was another day in which the Oklahoma defense played very well. I know that we'll get into a lot of it here over the course of the podcast, but it just, like, they looked really, really good today. And I know that it's one of those things, like, everything that we say comes with a little bit of an asterisk in that it was Kansas, and Kansas is a really bad football team.
I wanted to, in this COVID world, it's not allowed, and it wouldn't be allowed anyway, but I wanted to go give Kansas's quarterback a hug after the game. He had a really rough day. I mean,
is he upright yet? I mean, he left the game. He got demolished.
He probably left the stadium on crutches. I mean, he couldn't walk. I don't know if he couldn't walk off the field or he refused to walk off the field because he'd just gotten sacked for the ninth time on the day.
Shit, just send a tried out back to Lawrence with him. We can bus her back tomorrow.
I mean, and then, there was the awkwardness of Spencer Rattler. When the game finally got some flow to it, he had a nice quarter, but then he tried to muscle in for a touchdown, and he got blown up and got a hip injury or a bruise, and he wasn't the same quarterback, and Lincoln kept putting him out there anyway, and it really was, kind of one of those, okay, sometimes you're injured and sometimes you're just hurt. You're not injured. You're hurt, so got to keep playing through it. That's kind of how I felt, like that was a lesson he was being taught today.
You know, it's kind of weird that I don't know, like halfway through the third quarter, even when he went back out there, I thought to myself, it's like, they've played well, but I don't know if they've necessarily played really good. I don't know. It was somewhere in the middle. It's like, so I kind of get what maybe Riley was thinking, and who knows, he might not have been as hurt as we really thought he was at the time, because I know that there was a lot of people on Twitter and a lot of people, I'm sure, on the boards that were saying, get his ass out of there. But
it was just so weird the way that they treated him on the sideline. I'd never seen that before.
I hadn't either.
I don't know if it was like a Ben Gay patch or something. They took something and they put a patch on him on his left side right above his belt line. It had to be like right where your hip is.
I got some really good video of it that I'll put up on the board.
But like they just put that on him, and then he stood around for a while, and you could tell he was just in a lot of discomfort.
Yeah.
And it was like he would have a bad series, and he'd come back, and he and Lincoln would be talking, and like they'd both be throwing up their arms, and you could tell he was trying to say, I can't step into my throws. Like, and he said that after in the post game.
Yep.
That he wasn't able to step into his throws. And so it just ended up being like when Tanner Mordecai first came in, it was an awful series. He got sacked. And you just felt
never even saw the guy.
You felt like, okay, they're going to have to play Rattler some more and get at least Ramondre to run wild here for a quarter or something and just close this thing out. So then he comes back out, and then Tanner Mordecai comes back out finally when he sits down and had like his best series as a backup quarterback for Oklahoma.
How much of
said with Mordecai, they got to let him run the offense instead of just trying to run out the clock.
Yeah.
You're never going to know what he really brings to the table if you're always just putting him in mop up duty and acting like it's mop up duty. He's got to be able to act like he's got the weapons and the play as if the game is actually competitive.
How much of it do you think, too, was just the fact that, you get Rattler out there and he's still a young quarterback, I guess, technically. And, I think that you heard that.
The interception was bad.
It was a terrible throw.
It was young Spencer Rattler making young mistakes.
Sure, no doubt about it. And, I almost think that in the second quarter and when you put him back out there for the third quarter, it's almost like, I don't know. I mean, is it something that players look at and say, like, all right, he's kind of out here battling against a bullshit football team. Like, he could have easily said, no, I'm not going back in. I'm good. We're up by 30, whatever it was at halftime. Was it 31, nothing? And to a certain extent, you look up and he's out there. I don't know. Is it another one of those things, though, that you look at Spencer Rattler and you say he's earning the respect of his teammates? He's earning, whatever you want to call it. They can look at him and say, this guy's out here battling his ass off just like we are.
That's what Stevenson said for sure. He mentioned that, but it was just kind of weird because after he came back, it almost felt like Riley was determined to show that Rattler was still himself.
Sure.
So instead of just giving it to Stevenson and Pledger nonstop, they kept trying to pass it, and the throws just didn't have the zip on them.
And the other part of that, too, is you know, you kind of play with the idea of, you know, what if something really did happen to him and he gets hurt even further, and now you're really up a really bad way.
I mean, it was pretty... what was interesting is just watching the trainers kind of diagnose him. They were never really...
I think he just had a bruise.
Yeah,
I mean,
they were just like... They didn't think that it was anything severe. Now, the Stogner thing is more troublesome.
Sure.
And
1,000%.
That is something that we didn't... We failed, or whatever you want to... However you want to term it, we didn't ask Lincoln Riley about it in the postgame. Not that he would have told us anyway. But for him to come out... Gabe Eichard was the first to tweet that he limped into the locker room at halftime. He had a bad limp.
It was on the 33-yarder over the middle. He gets hit in the knee area.
Yeah.
In case anybody didn't know, it's one of those, and he's taking a couple of those shots that it's just, I don't know. I don't know how you protect yourself more, and maybe the quarterback needs to help him a little bit.
McNamara Calcaterra took some of those shots.
Sure,
too, yeah,
sure.
McNamara,
I mean, you think
Calcaterra
about what Andrews Taylor and McNamara. Calcaterra have gone through. That's what that position is.
Can you tell it's after 10:30 at night?
It's a pull if you're throwing out the Taylor McNamara name.
Taylor McNamara with Grant Calcaterra.
Hey, Grant, we apologize. And that's not to say anything bad about Taylor, because we like him too.
Didn't he finish out at USC, Taylor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he played.
Yeah, he's a
all-time good dude.
Oh, great.
Both
dude.
Of those guys, yeah, are.
They remind me of each other.
They kind of do, yeah. Well, they're both Cali kids and really good guys, though.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's kind of the life of a tight end, and we've seen that play before. And, I mean, he's taken like a shot to his quad before, I think.
And he took that shot against Texas where he got his legs chopped out from underneath him.
So, and he hates those. He hates that happens to him, but what can you do? You're a 6'7" man. Somebody goes right after your knees, you fall over. I mean, it just, so we'll see, you know, how much he's out. But one of the things tonight, and before we get to the defense, because there's a lot to talk about there, but Jaden Hazelwood back, got a catch.
Kind of amazing.
He's back quickly. He was wearing a knee brace, but he looked good. And guys, out of all the spots out there, when you see receivers lined up on the fields, you love seeing Marvin Mims. You like seeing Theo Weiss out there. You like seeing Austin Stogner. And you're okay with Drake Stoops. But you replace Drake Stoops with Jaden Hazelwood, all of a sudden, you have four potential studs at receiver.
I mean, shit. I'd go as far to say keep Drake out there. I think you guys know the name that I don't want to see anymore.
No, I don't. I don't think you're alone in your thinking. Charleston Rambo has
got to make a competitive catch.
Charleston Rambo has fallen behind. He has not progressed, and I don't know if it's his route running. He did have one touchdown that was called back because of Jaden Hazelwood holding out on the edge blocking. So he did end up making a play tonight, but I think it's one of those things where, as a quarterback, you're throwing to guys that are open. You've got your reads to get through, and there's guys that you trust to get open.
Sure.
I think Spencer Rattler trusts Austin Stogner more than everyone else to either get open or be open or make himself open. He trusts Theo Weiss a lot. I think he trusts Jeremiah Hall a lot. I just don't feel like he trusts that every time he goes to Charleston Rambo, he's going to be open.
Well, he went to him.
I think it's a route running thing.
And he went to him a couple times today, and he just, there was no separation.
There were very contested plays.
There were very contested plays. And, you know, at some point, you just got to, I don't know, and maybe it's unfair because he's coming off the COVID thing, and it just, I don't know, there's a lot to be desired there. I'm kind of sick of watching it, to be honest.
He is maybe the fourth or fifth, sixth best option on this team.
And it is what it is. It's not a hit on Charleston Rambo as much as there's just other talented guys on this team. There's better wide receivers on this football team, and especially when you throw in Jaden Hazelwood into the mix. I mean, it's kind of exciting to see what this thing's going to look like here in a couple weeks. And, you know, it's pretty evident, too, that they're starting to be able to run the ball. Ramondre Stevenson's a man.
I don't know if you necessarily need an offensive line that's great to run the ball with Ramondre Stevenson. That's why I think he's really good, a great NFL prospect. But, you know, I asked Lincoln about it after the game, you know, kind of what he compares his game to, and he mentioned that he's closest probably to Samaje. But Eddie and I were talking about this earlier, Bob. Like, Samaje could definitely run people over, and he could deliver a lick, and Clemson apparently has just lost. Must have had an interception or something, or a fumble.
No, it was 4th and 24.
Was it 4th and 24?
They just didn't convert it.
Uh-oh, we're rushing the field.
COVID's over in South Bend.
Biden's not going to like this. So, yeah, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson, he never, like, there were times when Samaje Perine, like, he would get whacked and driven back, and you're like, oh, that's not pretty for Samaje. Like, no one ever drives Ramondre Stevenson in the other direction. He's always moving forward, or people are falling off of him, and he's running through people.
He's got that spin move.
He is a brick wall. I mean, he is an immovable force. I've never seen a running back as powerful as him.
And the crazy thing about it, too, is it's not just that he's powerful. He can move.
Yeah.
Like, he can
that
jump
cut.
That
catch tonight.
The one-handed catch was, like, I was like, holy shit. Where did this come from?
You know, he was the team's leading receiver in terms of number of catches.
Yeah, he had the most catches. Stogner had more yards,
that is
but
insane.
He had more catches.
That's insane.
And he averaged 9.5 yards every time he carried the football. 11 carries, 105, 104. Can't remember the exact, but a touchdown.
Two touchdowns.
Was it two touchdowns? Yep. Rattler threw for one. He ran for two. Okay. So, I mean, it's just, it's kind of like the defensive line. It's kind of hard to just keep lopping praise on a guy, but what else are you to do? By the way, an interesting note on defense. We can move over there real quick. Perrion Winfrey didn't play in the first half from a position perspective.
Yes, the first quarter, once again.
Another mystery suspension for Perrion Winfrey, apparently, allegedly. But as soon as the first play of the second quarter happened, he was right out there because they were on defense.
Very first play. I mean, that is so funny.
Why?
Do we really have to ask? It's Perrion Winfrey.
There could have just been something.
Yep. Maybe he found a hood he liked in Norman last week.
I don't feel like getting canceled tonight.
I don't think maybe the canceling will stop now.
No, probably not.
There's a change in the president.
Is that official?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
that's right. The truth. I think that at the end of the day, though, you look at Oklahoma and what they were able to do defensively, and what is it? 9 sacks. They had 11
9
tackles for last.
Yep.
So that is you add that into
3
the mix
for
of the,
Nick Benito tonight.
Nick Benito, I think me and Bob tweeted it almost simultaneously today. He could not be blocked at all. He was doing, and I'll go back tomorrow and kind of highlight it, and we'll put some highlights on the board, and we'll put a little arrow above him. But he literally was not blocked today. There was nobody on that Kansas offensive line that could block him. I don't know if there was anybody on the Kansas offensive line that could block anybody that was lining up across from him today.
They couldn't block Brendan Walker when he was in there.
Brendan Walker had a good day. Perrion Winfrey. I mean, Ronnie Perkins had a good day.
Marcus Stripling had a nice day.
In the first quarter.
I mean, Oklahoma's defensive line's pretty damn good. And you look at what they've done over the last four games now. They had 28 tackles for loss going into today. You add the 11 today, and that's 39 tackles for loss over the last four games for Oklahoma.
They've got to be close to surpassing their sack totals from a year ago. They had 15.
I don't know what the number was.
They had 15 before Tech, I believe. So they had 9 today. How many did they have against Tech?
I thought they only had like 2 against Tech.
That puts them around 26, 27, and they had 30 a year ago. Or was it 36? Going off of old math now.
I would have to.
Where's our map of the U.S. when we need it? We need
we need John King.
We need a touch screen. Should I invest in a touch screen?
I don't know. I was watching that almost all week, and I was like, I don't know if I could work this damn thing.
Well, a lot of people get when they have it at ESPN, like for, you know, their shows, a lot of people can't work that thing. Like Dan Orlovsky, he's like the only guy that can work it.
He's probably the only young that could work it. Everybody else, I mean, you think Jaws is going to be working the breakdown booth?
Well, they let, the guy that started it was Madden, the telestrator.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't think he could work the iPad nowadays. Is John Madden even alive? Has anybody heard from John Madden in like the last 20 years?
He was at the Raiders-Browns game last
week. Oh, was he really? Yeah. I didn't know that. So does he live in Cleveland? Or he take the bus over there?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, but they were just talking about how they had spoke to him before the game.
No kidding.
Maybe they spoke to him on the phone and I just misread the whole situation.
Very well could have been.
But, guys, Bob, this was interesting just from a starting lineup perspective today. Woody Washington back at corner instead of Jaden Davis. DeLarian Turner Yell did start, but Trey Norwood was in there quite a bit.
David Aguebu started
instead of Deshaun White. And Alex Grinch was asked why that was in the postgame. He said that Deshaun White's basically just banged up a little bit. And that had more to do with it than him having a better week of practice or anything like that.
By the way, what's funny about watching the guys late and mop-up duty time, you don't even know who the scrubs are because Alex plays everybody. So, like, Corey Roberson's still going to be out there. He's not a scrub, but you go 3-4 deep, that's who you end up going with, like, in the fourth quarter. So it's been fun to watch the depth accumulate – 1 week after each one.
By the way, DJ Graham had a really good third down and short yardage play today that ended up being a fourth down.
That
stop.
Led to the fourth down.
Yeah.
Stop. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But when you see Joshua Eaton and Jeremiah Criddell and Bryson Washington, that's the only time you know that they've gone ahead and played all the youngsters. I mean, Criddell plays a lot more, but usually Bryson Washington's a pretty good signal, and Eaton. If those two are out there,
I think that
means they called off the dogs.
Has that been the most encouraging thing over the last couple of weeks? Is the fact that you've seen, you know, young guys get into the game and make a lot of plays? Yes.
Yeah.
Like legitimately.
Where's Josh? Shane Witter, five tackles, including that fourth down.
He played
of the five plays.
I honestly thought I could hear the orgasm from Houston as Shane Witter made the fourth down stop there.
I was trying.
Hey, that was a good play on Trey Norwood's part too. To get a little piece of him to kind of knock him up a little bit.
Trey Norwood, I mean, he's not as small as he was, but he's still not big. But he's not afraid to mix it up.
No, not at all. Is it crazy to say that, you know, over the last 3 weeks, OU's probably played in consecutive games the best defense they've played in, honestly, it might be a decade.
You have to go back to 2009.
Put three games together like they have.
Yeah. Maybe 11 when you had guys like Javon Harris.
The Sharks.
The Sharks.
I can't believe we still talk about the Sharks in a... like a good tone.
In a glowing way?
Yeah, like in a good manner. I guess that tells you how bad they've been on defense over the last 4 or 5 years.
God, on the defensive line, I don't know how much we can keep bragging on those guys. They're just fantastic. I mean, they're really, really good. And like Josh said the other day, I mean, you've got three bona fide NFL draft picks on that defensive line, and Nick Bonito might be becoming the next one.
They're really strong. I mean, in a strange way, it's almost like, and I hate to be that guy, but it's, we'll see if this thing can continue into, you know, through the bye week, obviously, and then you have a big one coming up against Oklahoma State in 2 weeks.
The thing about it is, Spencer Sanders doesn't make good decisions, And their offensive line is terrible. Oklahoma is the worst possible matchup for them right now.
Yeah.
And they've had a lot of injuries. They'll have a week to heal up, so we'll see how that goes. But their offensive line is their biggest problem. Chuba Hubbard could not run the ball today. L.D. Brown was still their best running back because Chuba Hubbard needs some space. I mean, he's a small speedster. He needs room to operate. And he doesn't have that right now at that offensive line.
Sure. Well, and, you know, I think that, you know, they're progressing in the right direction. Oklahoma is. It's just, can they finish this thing out? And it's kind of fun to watch. I don't know. I guess you have to, like, kind of take a deep breath and say, like, yeah, the season is what it is. The Kansas State loss was terrible. Iowa State loss was terrible. But it's been kind of fun to watch this thing come together in front of us.
They're better than I thought that they would be at this point in the season.
Sure.
After the way it started.
Yeah, they turned a corner so quickly. Like, it wasn't a
It was overtime
process.
Against Texas.
Yep.
They've been a completely different team. I mean, they were a different team in that they got up 31-17. And then they had that... I mean, you wondered if you were going to see any of that today, kind of a letdown. And I wouldn't say that that touchdown at the end was a... was any kind of a letdown because
no.
They didn't have anybody in the game that was of consequence at that point. And Kansas, I thought that they were just going to let the time run out, to be honest with you, the way their quarterback had been knocked out. They were beaten up, just thoroughly dominated. Les had his 3 points. He didn't get shut out. I thought they were just going to let the clock run. And then they just ran a play and they scored.
It was a little disappointing. See, they scored on the final play of the game, but
the over.
You know what? I fault Les Miles more than anybody. What are you trying to do? Hey, just take a knee. Get this over with. Go retire.
4-hour game.
Yeah. What are you doing, by the way, Les? Like, get out of here.
I'm sure it will lead to greater days for them in the future that they scored that touchdown. They fixed a lot of things, Eddie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they really found it. They're going to lose by 30 next week instead of, what was it this weekend? 62. 53. Jesus Christ. I can say that, too. I'm Catholic. He's okay with that.
Well, you had Kansas State losing today. That was good. I mean, Oklahoma State did not play well. They won that game unconventionally. But OU needed Kansas State to lose today. And
yeah.
They did.
Yep, because now you need one more loss, either Texas or Iowa State. You figure one of Kansas State will lose one of those games and officially be out of the tiebreaker thing.
I mean, the funny thing about it is we're going to find out if this OU team is for real or if they're just playing well against lesser competition. Texas Tech was bad today. They got beat pretty easily by TCU, but you've whipped up on TCU. You really killed Tech. You really killed Kansas. Now in 2 weeks, Oklahoma State. And going to West Virginia is not going to be an easy win.
I think Bedlam is the toughest game they have on the schedule left. But there is no doubt that, and I don't know, maybe this is just paranoid me in that I think that game in Morgantown will be very, very tough. Very tough.
If they get there. The number of games that were canceled this weekend concerns me.
Well, I mean, you have half the West Coast canceling games for one COVID test.
Well, that was the Berkeley Health Center.
Yeah, they wanted that. And they've been trying to shut down football for the last year.
Yeah.
I mean, there will probably be people the way that Notre Dame rushed the field tonight that tried to close down Notre Dame by Monday morning.
Probably so.
I mean... Thank God that Christine That's Brennan hasn't been watching point. Football. She would have stroked out tonight. Northwestern 3-0, by the way, too.
You should get a burner account and text Christine Brennan that Justin Turner did nothing wrong.
Who's Justin Turner?
Am I saying
Dodgers?
Name?
Oh, God! I'm so sport. Full.
Like
I'm full throttled football right now.
Not like he's a cardinal.
Yeah, he's not a son of a bitch like Yadier Molina.
No, but I mean, they are closer than they've ever been to controlling their own destiny. They need one more loss from Kansas sure. State.
And Kansas State, and I mean, they still have the Texas game out there. They still have Iowa State, obviously, Bob.
Yep. They'll get it. Freshman quarterback.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, three games left.
It is crazy. Absolutely.
OSU, Baylor, and West Virginia.
Absolutely. It's nuts. It's nuts that they've made it. Not that they've made it this far. The fact that you look up and you see some of these schedules and, you know, like, I think it really hit me last night when I look up and BYU has two games left. That was their eighth game last night.
Yeah, I noticed today, like, I saw people with records of, like, 7-0, and I was like, how did they play seven games?
Here's a, you want a take of the century from Oklahoma's own Skip Bayless this evening?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it's notable, so we'll retweet.
Just let me mark this so I can put a big bleep in there if I don't like it.
Congrats to Notre Dame and Ian Book for outfighting Clemson, but the team playing the best right now in college football is Oklahoma.
Oh, no. No one takes him seriously, though. If like Andy Staples said that, or Kirk Herbstreit,
sure.
or someone that had no ties to Oklahoma.
I mean, they are. OU is playing well. I mean, shit. It was the first time they've scored
Kansas.
I know. But they've scored 60 in back to back games.
62 in back to back games.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. I think it's the first time that's happened since they were playing like Kingfisher College.
Sam Bradford and those guys. They had 60.
Five in a row, 60. Yeah, in 2008.
By the way, I was watching...
I think
watching,
it's just the DeMarco Murray
I was watching that
connection.
Texas game today, and one of the bullshit stats that gets me a little triggered is they're like, Sam Ehlinger is now tied with Sam Bradford for career touchdown passes. Like, yeah, Sam Bradford played 2 years. And a game against BYU. Well, in that game against Texas.
Ehlinger can play five. Come back next year.
If his brain is still there.
I hope he does.
Well, they won't have to worry about Connor Ewers.
Who?
Or is it, what's Ewers' first name?
Oh, Quinn.
Quinn.
Yeah, he might be playing football at Ohio State.
I think that's a good bet.
We shall see.
So, I mean, outside of that, Baylor, they could have beaten Iowa State tonight. They were in the driver's seat, up 24-10.
Baylor did what OU didn't. They got the three picks from Purdy. That's what OU could have done.
So that's what happened in the first half?
Yes. They made the night and aimed a lot easier, but Pat Fields and the rest of them could never hold on to it.
It didn't help that they let Breece Hall just come out and run wild in the second half either.
Yeah. I wondered what happened. I'd looked up and we were doing post-game interviews, Bob, and
yeah,
like it was 14-0. I was like, holy shit, what is going on in Ames? Because I don't think Baylor's very good at all.
They don't appear to be. And Brewer is always one hit away from being done. Although, sure. as they proved last year in the Big 12 championship game, maybe you should have gotten them down to the third-string quarterback.
What happened to that guy?
He's got to still be there.
Zeno,
yeah.
Dude was a monster.
I don't know. I don't know what happened to him. It's very apparent, though, that something happened in the overtimes against Texas that Oklahoma has, I don't know, and, you know, you refer to it as turning the corner. It's almost like they didn't believe in themselves until that point, and now over the last couple of weeks, and I just don't know if that's the competition that they've played out on the field. I think that's probably part of it, because there are little lapses.
I think that there's...
But at the same time, it just looks good. It looks clean. It looks solid.
I think with every team that's out there, just like Oklahoma State right now, there's a certain level of confidence that most teams don't have because of what they went through in the offseason and the preseason. Nobody really had a true fall camp. I think everybody kind of feels like they're just kind of faking their way through this a little bit. And I think Oklahoma just wasn't prepared to start a season.
Yeah.
Yup.
And not because...
You say that, and but they did blow a 3-touchdown lead against Kansas State. There's just no way to get around it. That is one of the worst... Like, as we get further out from it, that is maybe one of the worst meltdowns that Oklahoma's had in a long, long time.
Although Kansas State is not as bad as they... I mean, their one game that was terrible was at West Virginia.
Well, they're going to look bad because Skylar Thompson's gone.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, that's always going to be the thing.
And Will that's Howard true. Threw like 3 picks in that game, didn't he, or something?
Well, he threw a pick 6 tonight. Or today. Against OSU.
Fumbled it.
It was a fumble.
Taylor's hands.
Yep. I gotcha.
And then Texas wasn't exactly a barn burner. I mean, they weren't exactly, you know, light your socks up on fire.
Yeah, I thought we were going to have a shootout. Nope.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's COVID football. I mean, it's COVID season. Everything's weird.
Yeah, if Notre Dame wins the national championship, it doesn't count.
I think anybody that beats Alabama probably is going to deserve it. I mean, they beat Clemson, but without Trevor Lawrence. Although, Ugalele is pretty damn good.
You have Irish versus Tigers.
Yeah, they don't have division, so they can play again. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
No, they will. They'll play in the championship game.
Problem is, if you can't talk about OU as a playoff team.
But boy, that conversation started again this last week. I don't know who began it, but it's picked up a lot.
If they
go
out and score 62 against Oklahoma State, then you can have that conversation.
It's just funny that, like, I know they won 62-9 today. I didn't feel like they played that well. Is that
because Rattler
not
got
offensively.
Hurt?
No,
because Rattler got hurt and they were just kind of getting through it.
I guess it's so weird to get back in this mode of like everything needs to be perfect because I just didn't feel like they played that well.
But defensively, they make up for it now on offense.
They do. But again, it's just like...
I mean, it was the turnovers. It was the fourth down stops. I mean, they got the ball in positions to go score pretty easily.
Like oh, yeah.
4 or 5 times.
Yeah, they had to settle for a field goal early. I mean, you get a... I guess it wasn't the Trey Brown interception, but... And which was a really nice play. He started to play.
It was a turnover on downs that only led to a field
that's right.
goal, which was
that's
disappointing.
Right. That's right. And that was the Rattler injury, wasn't it? Or no? No, it's not. Because what was it then? It was
Berkic's 40-yard field goal comes after a turnover on downs, and they're like at the 25-yard line to start, and they don't do anything.
That's right.
By the way, it is
working my way through a 6-pack right now. I'm sorry.
Come to that. Yeah, I had a couple whiskeys before the show started too. We do have to do something. This is a difficult one, I think, maybe this week because as we talked about, Rattler got hurt. He had some stars on the defense. Trey Brown interception. But let's do this.
All about embracing the best. That's why they are the official travel partner of the Soonerscoop.com podcasts. So it's time for us to recognize the Sooners best with our Eskridge Lexus Player of the Game.
By the way, before we start, Bob, he had a chance to take a 2021
NX
to Lubbock with him.
It was awesome. Loved it.
Did you let Pearl drive at some point? Is that what happened?
I was surprised how smooth it ran. It was a breeze. You know, I take the long way to Lubbock. I go Amarillo down. Adds like another 30 minutes or so, but loved it.
Don't ever take that way again, all right? Not in the Lexus. Bob hit something.
I know where it was when I was coming back.
Was it like a board or something that was in the road?
No, there's a construction zone near Clinton, near the exits to Clinton that isn't very like closed off. Like all the gravel's there and all the stuff is there. There's a nail that hit one of the tires.
So I got to buy a new tire this weekend or last weekend.
You did.
Fun.
Lucky you.
I bought a lot of those Lexus tires. They're not super cheap. Neither was this one. Actually, they're not too. It was a couple hundred bucks. But they're good tires. So yeah, we had that to deal with. Which, you know, Bob did a great job. He got down and got to see Kobe McKenzie the next day. So yeah, it was a good trip, and the Lexus, always great drive. Eddie and I have taken an RX before to Lubbock. But give Ed Eskridge and Eskridge Lexus a call. Go check him out online, eskridgelexus.com. If you are a listener to the podcast or a Sooner Scoop subscriber, just let him know, and they'll give you a special scoop deal. And I know it's the time of year when, you know, a lot of people haven't taken their regular vacations. They got some money sitting around. I know this has happened a lot because I was talking to Ed about it. And a lot of people just say, hey, it's time for us to get a new car. Let's get something nice. Let's go to Ed Eskridge and check it out. And if you listen to the podcast, you want to buy a new Lexus, or you're looking for a pre-owned something, just tell them you listen to the Scoop podcast, the Eskridge Lexus post-game podcast, and they'll take care of you. So eskridgelexus.com, go check them out. Support them. They support us for years, especially our official travel partner. Give us Lexus to drive. So we always really appreciate it. We appreciate you guys supporting them, because I know people have gone down and bought cars from them, letting them know that they're Scoop podcast listeners. So, I don't think Rattler really qualifies this week, just and that's mainly because of the injury. I do think Ramondre Stevenson qualifies, but let's face it, guys, this was all about the defense, and I'm going to go with Nick Benito. 3 sacks today, all over the field. A lot of those guys played really well. Perrion Winfrey did a good job today, but again, where were you in the first quarter, Perrion? What'd you do? What did you do? Are we all in agreement then?
Absolutely.
Nick Benito, our Eskridge Lexus player of the game?
Absolutely.
Many argument for Ronnie Perkins, just because the tone he sets and the energy he brings has been infectious to the rest of that team. But this was Benito's day.
Can I make a honorable mention?
Sure.
Just because we don't get to do it much, and I know I might catch a little flack for this, but
Ryan Mead.
No. Okay. I thought Mead did have a nice play today, though. I'm going to say Buki.
Yeah?
He had the interception. He had the pass breakup at the line of scrimmage, knocked the ball down, made a nice play out in the middle of the field, or on the sidelines, made a nice open field tackle. Yeah. Like, just because we don't get to say his name very much in a good tone, a good connotation, I'm going to say Buki. As a honorable mention player, even though he had an interception and then fumbled it, which is just the most Buki thing of all time.
And he even carried it in the right hand. It wasn't like he had it in his right hand going down the left sideline.
Someone to come from the out of bounds and knock the you carry it in that hand to
shield. Not even his fault. It's not even his fault. I'm gonna say that. It's not his fault. It was just weird.
Such a bizarre play.
But didn't fumble out of bounds, and somehow it stayed in.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a guy that I thought that had a pretty nice day that I feel like is starting to maybe come on a little bit on the defensive side. I thought Corey Robertson was pretty active today.
I thought Jordan Kelly played well, too.
I guess you can just throw all those defensive linemen in there. They're seven games in now, and you can honestly say this is a very good defensive line.
And, you know, Isaiah Thomas started. We didn't have LaRon Stokes back today, so Isaiah Thomas started as an interior guy.
It kind of felt like, though, didn't it, guys, that if they needed LaRon Stokes to play today, he probably would have played. If today was like the Big 12 championship game, don't you think he probably would have played? It felt like that was a... Even when Riley said
Let's
something
just give
on Tuesday,
another week to
we'll
get
give him another
fully
week.
Healthy.
Well, I guess technically 2 weeks, right, and then you go into Bedlam.
Right. So he will have had 3 weeks off before Bedlam.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what time that game is here in a couple
of
weeks.
Yeah, I got to think it's 11 o'clock, big noon, Fox.
That sucks. I was kind of hoping for the 7 o'clock ABC kickoff.
I just don't know who gets first choice.
Just avoid that. Just avoid the networks for now. I mean,
why have I never? I never understand. Like,
Trump may get things overturned on Saturday morning next week, and then we're all screwed again.
It won't matter. It's the Masters. Nobody cares.
Oh, they'll ABC News will block
what if
out
they cut it?
Oh, good thing it's on
the
CBS.
Is it on CBS?
I'll drive to CBS, and that will be remedied real quickly. It'll be an active shooter situation.
Oh my God.
I didn't say I was going to Columbine.
No, you took us there without anyone asking
beep,
for
beep,
it.
Beep, 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 beep.
What's the weather looking like for the Masters, Eddie?
It's supposed to rain on like Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I think there's like a 60% chance on Thursday, but I think it's supposed to dry out towards the end of the weekend, so hopefully it's okay. But where's the Alabama LSU game next week? Is it in Tuscaloosa?
LSU,
oh, it's in Baton Rouge? Okay.
They beat them at Bama last year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, whatever.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be 2 weeks of everyone asking questions about Spencer Rattler, trying to figure out how he's doing.
We're going to do that for 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah.
He's fine.
That's a good sign that Rattler talked.
Yeah, he's fine.
If Riley's going to let you talk, that usually
you
means
don't,
you're okay.
I don't know. I mean,
when players get hurt, like players have had great games and they get hurt at the end, but then we didn't get to talk to them because they got hurt.
Yep.
Rattler is completely fine. I don't even think he's...
It's just soreness. I mean, it's going to be sore for a while.
He came back in the game. He played...
He probably won't practice at all this week.
I mean, I bet they get him out there. The guy you got to worry about is Stogner. Now, the good news is, I did see that, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Braden Willis said he'll be back next week, or for Bedlam.
Saw that. I think that's what he was implying with that tweet.
Yeah. Sure. That's 100% what I thought. So, I mean, the one that you got to worry about is Stogner, and, you know, he's a big part of this offense right now.
Well, and the other thing I would worry about, it's kind of a sub-worry, like, if Rattler is sore and they don't want to give him a lot of reps to heal, like, he could really use a week with Jaden Hazelwood.
Sure.
They lost that Tuesday because of the election rule. So he would have had a bigger part today, I think, if they would have had a full week of practices. So those two really need to, and you know, Rattler after the game, I thought it was interesting what he said about Jaden. Like, he wishes he would have thrown him the ball more. So he clearly has a good connection with him on the practice field from what little they've been able to do together.
No doubt about it. You know, I thought it was almost kind of interesting. And Bob, I think you said it. The rotations were a little bit weird tonight. And it was almost like it's almost like they said, you know what? Screw it. We're playing Kansas. We're a 38-point favorite. Let's do some things. Let's give other guys opportunities, almost.
Yeah, like having Shane Witter in during the first half. It's only 21-0 at that point, and they're playing true freshmen as if it's like 38-0. I mean, they were not afraid to go deep into that substitution pattern and just say, we trust everyone that were, like, Reggie Grimes. He had the face mask.
He played
so then
a ton tonight.
They took him out. But it was like, wow, they're putting in Grimes before Stripling.
Yeah, that was a weird rotation with Stripling because he comes in and immediately makes an impact. But he didn't play a lot till late, and they played Reggie Grimes a lot. And they played John Michael Terry when they weren't playing Benito and Perkins.
Brendan Walker got a lot of run in the first half. It's just like, okay, they're going to roll with him.
It's pretty fun to see a group of guys just be able to develop.
You've got three corners you're playing now in Woody, Jaden, and Trey.
I mean, my God.
You got three safeties you're playing with Trey Norwood.
It's kind of crazy how quickly it has been. And again, got to remember
and
the
really
teams
Cradell's
that
they... really, makes it four.
Got to remember the teams they've been playing over the last couple weeks. But at the same time, it's like, this is what people subscribe to when they follow recruiting, though. And, like, you get guys, and then you see them develop out on the football field.
Look at you. You're promoting the brand.
It just, I don't know, it makes me happy.
I don't know if I can let you drive home tonight.
I'm fine.
Very under his breath. I'm fine.
Well, it's a 62-9 shellacking of Kansas. I don't know how much more we really need to talk about tonight, to be honest.
I will say, and the other thing I will say, TJ Pledger is starting to run the ball really well.
Yeah.
I thought...
Well, he knows he has to. And that was another interesting thing. Like, Seth McGowan had very little of a role tonight until late in the game when it became McGowan, Majors, the only two running backs that were going in there. And they put Mikey Henderson in there.
Major got back in after zero snaps.
And he got a touchdown.
At TCU in Tech. Thought he disappeared
had
again.
A great catch, and then he had a touchdown.
Yes, that's a really nice catch.
They're about a year away from Riley putting Mikey Henderson all over the field, aren't they? Like, in just various different roles.
He is a more versatile Jeremiah Hall. Not that Jeremiah Hall doesn't do a lot of good things for that offense.
Jeremiah Hall is a great football player. He's not the athlete that Mikey Henderson
no.
is.
But I will say, if they lose Stogner for any extended period of time and Braden Willis is back, I could see him becoming a huge part of this offense moving forward.
Mikey Henderson?
No, Braden Willis.
Oh, Braden Willis.
Yeah.
Well, they need that H-back to be something.
Yeah.
Whether it be Stogner, whether it be Braden Willis.
And what was it? Jeremiah Hall was like, look, you guys can keep saying H-backs. We're all tight ends.
And Jeremiah, you might be more of like a fullback, but that's okay.
You know, he doesn't have hair. Let him have something.
He's a great football player. I love watching Jeremiah Hall
play. But if he wants to be considered a tight end, just let him be a tight end.
Be whatever you want.
Boy, Biden really has changed you.
Yeah, and in Biden world, we don't have labels anymore.
Exactly.
We don't use. In fact, we
use any bathroom.
They need to take that off the. I've been doing that for a long time, but they need to take off the position groups from the roster now that we're under the Biden-Harris regime. No more labels.
We don't even have linemen anymore. We just
no
have
more
players.
No. Well, lineman kind of means a fat person, and we're not doing that anymore.
I know people don't want to hear this, but I saw Eric Swenson just throw some people around today.
It was Kansas.
That's when you say it was.
We love you, Eric.
Did you get 9 sacks? That's awesome.
Eddie does it because I tried to give you a compliment. Yeah. Eddie just shit all over it.
Just being honest.
All right. I think we're going to end it there. Eddie's getting hot, and I don't know where this is going to go if we could keep going. So,
Gabe Berkich made all his kicks today. That's good.
Yeah.
Including a 50-yarder.
I guess at some point we're going to have to talk about the punting situation because it's not good. But we can maybe save that for the U40. A
couple of bad ones.
When you punt that, I think there was only 2 punts today, weren't there?
When you punt that infrequently, you're not getting a lot of practice.
Yeah, it's like asking somebody to come off the bench and hit a 3.
Yeah.
Except that's his job.
That's his only job.
That's literally why you're getting paid to go to school.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Eskridge Lexus Post Game Podcast. Appreciate you guys staying up late. Thanks, Bob. Great work. Go check him out on the website. Got a story about the defensive line today and a really good note section talking about some of the big stories that happened in the game tonight, including Jaden Hazelwood's return and Spencer Rattler's hurt. I don't want to call it an injury.
He got banged up. It's football.
It's pain.
He's going to be fine. It's football.
Don't ask about it every day on the message board is what you're saying.
Ask about it every single day because that means that you're on the message boards interacting.
Wow. You're
like, who is this?
Yeah, he's very corporate. I like it. You can't have a raise. I'm sorry.
Again.
It's COVID time.
Well. I'm thinking about ways to get money after I get this DUI on the way home. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
All right, you have to leave my house now. All right.
Yeah, now I'm getting kicked out.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back here again in 2 weeks after Bedlam, a huge one that's going to be Oklahoma State, Spencer Rattler, Spencer Sanders, toe-to-toe. We'll see how it all works out. Until then, keep checking in with us for the Unofficial 40 each and every Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Eskridge Lexus, EskridgeLexus.com. Go check them out. This has been the Eskridge Lexus Post Game Podcast.